you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Nextel, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Nextel, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, after a long off-season hiatus, we are back with another episode of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, the GUAP. I'm your host, Alex Espinoza, with my co-host, Dr. Hal Gordon.
Hot dog!
And we, of course, are talking about 2024 Fans Fest, and who better to have on here than Casey Pratt, the man in the middle of the action from ABC7. Casey, how are you doing? Thank you so much for making the time to help us revive the pod. Yeah.
A few months ago, I came on this very show, and I was promised it was the last time you'd ever be doing this. So I have to make sure that
here we are. You're
still planning on retiring this godforsaken show
at some point. No.
Well, as soon as they give us some renderings, you know, some Vegas renderings, then we'll retire the pod.
We thought
they were coming.
Yeah. The same thing since last time.
No, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, nothing's changed in the past 5 months, right, guys? Like, no, the same. Yeah. But yeah, just to give you guys some background, I'm actually in Mexico right now. I've been here for the past few months, but I'll be back for opening day. So it's time to start talking A's baseball. And just as an observer from afar, A's Fan Fest looked incredible on Saturday in Jack Lemmon Square. Me and Hal were talking about it offline. We're thinking maybe, 8,000 to 10,000 people were there? I don't know what the official count was, but it looked incredible. I just want to get your guys' impressions of, you know, that. Did it feel as incredible as it looked, you know?
Yeah. Yes, it did. What was interesting is, like, early in the day, I got there. Obviously, Hal was there crazy early, too. And, you know, the setup phase of the event. And it's like you're walking around and you're seeing all the cool stuff set up and you're like, man, I hope people come. Like, you don't know who's going to come. You don't know how many people are going to come. You just have no idea. Around 11, the gates opened. I went back inside. And then when I came back out to hit the stage to greet the people, I was like, whoa, there's so many people here.
Your selfie was epic. Your selfie looked great, man. Your selfie looked so good.
That was at like 2 o'clock, probably 2:30. But at 11, when I first went on the stage, there's already a lot of people as it just started. So I was blown away. Outdoors packed, indoors packed, vendors happy, beer gone. Hal was out there passing out cotton candy. I had to keep them away from my kids because they're all sugared up. But you know, it was an epic day.
That's so good.
Yeah, I gave away, I think, about 350 pieces of cotton candy, so that was fun.
Yeah, my kids about 200 of them, so
great.
She's still hyped up, dude.
Yeah, I just can't say enough good things about the two guys running the last dive bar, Paul and Brian, and like everybody on the executive committee of the Oakland 68s, man. I think my involvement in this was pretty minimal. I was at the beginning, hey, let's just try and do something. And I got in contact with the mayor's office. I was like, where could we do something? And they were there. And then, you know, they were like, do it in Jack London. We set this thing up. And I mean, when they were first like, oh yeah, well, we have this big thing and we'll close down a bunch of streets, I was like, oh, this is going to be a serious one. And then they just went they just went bananas. I mean, they invested so much money. They invested so much time. They, I mean, the connections that they, you know, the connections that they pulled, like the last dive bar pulled through all their knowledge of all the card shows and all these other things to like even get, and they approached so many people to try and get them. And just the amount of like legwork time, the Oakland 68s did, man, like just the amount of just, permitting was insane. And people put up, man, it was an, if you build it, they will come kind of thing. Wow. It's another just huge statement, I think.
Do you guys feel like, I mean, I know it feels great as a fan to see this and see that unity, but do you guys feel like this will actually have any impact on the stadium process? I know I was talking to Hal about that. And how do you feel like, do you feel like this could have any impact at all? Just showing the, you know, the Oakland fan spirit and everything like that to the owners, or do they just at this point not care? What do you guys think?
I think they notice it sends a very loud and clear message that investment in the A's fan base yields return. But that being said, I think that they're just going to do what they do. I'm sure if Manfred saw the thing, he'd probably have called it an average crowd or something like he did at the reverse boycott.
Dude, his backhanded comments kill me, dude. I can't.
But he doesn't even speak well about his own sport, let alone other things. So he just is known for putting his foot in his mouth. But what we saw, the outpouring of love, the showing of support, I echo what Hal said. I was just the MC. Like, all I had to do is show up and blab, which is very easy. I mean, these guys, I was on some of the Zoom calls just to talk about scheduling, like when we're going to have people on stage and what we're going to talk about. And I mean, they're showing these maps that like there's a dialysis center, can't block that. Okay, fire exits, like parking, street closures, like the amount of time and effort it took just to check every box, like getting out there the day before and putting up all these like don't park here signs, and just, it was just extensive. I don't think people really can truly understand or appreciate just how many things these guys did. And I can take no credit other than showing up. And I was the one that got field work in Altamont Beer Works on board. That was
oh,
my only,
let's go. Yeah, that was great.
My secret full-time contribution. I know some people at both breweries, and when Drake's dropped out, I hit them both up and I was like, big opportunity here to save the day. And they rose to the occasion. And again, Drake's dropping out sucked, but it led to 7 more breweries coming on. And if those 7 didn't come on, they probably would have been out of beer by noon. So it all worked out.
Wow. Round of applause for Casey Pratt.
I'm a big fan of beer. I had to drink water the whole event because I was MC and I'd actually go to work right after. But I was very jealous. People would come up and take selfies with me, and then I'd be like, what are you drinking? What beer is that? Like, I just think I asked everybody about their drinks because I was so jealous I wasn't having any of my own.
Well, when we were talking offline, you were talking about like the 50-50 to Las Vegas, if that was real or something like,
yeah, you know, I want to, you know, Casey's been really generously giving us a little chunk of time. We'll maybe talk some more after he leaves about Fans Fest, but I want to ask a couple questions, just like more generally, right? Because, all right, Fans Fest's over, you know, we'll find out what the boycott's going to be like, but you know, the big question sort of I have is, in watching all of your great interviews and Brody's great interviews, it seems like whenever you're talking to people in Las Vegas, they seem like, oh, 50-50, they're going to, you know, end up in Vegas. And, you know, when you seem to, you know, when you hear people who are more baseball minded, you know, I think like, you know, like Ken Rosenthal and stuff, they're just like, this is great. I'm so proud of the A's fans, but I mean, they're definitely going to Vegas, you know, and I'm suspicious of the 50-50. I think just seeing your reaction when you've been giving interviews, it sounds like you're a little suspicious too of 50-50. What do you make, you know, have you noticed the same difference? Is like, what can you make heads or tails of that? Like, why are they so down on it? And why are baseball people kind of like, it's happening, it's over?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Like, heads or tails literally is 50-50, so it's hard to tails of it. But I was there and covering the Super Bowl, obviously, still ended up talking a lot about the A's, thanks to the Vegas mayor who had a big assist there. But, you know, in talking to Alan Snell, touring the site, talking to Howard Studs, just talking to all the journalists out there, they're a lot more down on it than we are. Like, I call it 75% Vegas, probably, because you see everything in motion. But that being said, you could see why they would be skeptical. And when you're in a place like Las Vegas, where they can see a scammer coming from a mile away, they have to know how to do that there. When you have a guy come in and say, I need the money before I show you the plans. And, oh, yeah, the financing, we'll worry about that later. And, oh, renderings, yeah, I'll show you those. But those are fake. Don't worry about those. We'll show you some more later. I think they see that and they go, this is not a serious business person. And I joked about this a while back after watching Succession, but these are not serious people the way they're handling all of this. Like, I just heard today that they had a loan and then they said, we don't like that because we're too liable on some things. It's like they're already struggling to get financing. And then when a financing package is presented to them, they're like, nah, I don't know about that. It's like at some point, you just got to commit to something. And you saw that all throughout the Oakland process. There was never this moment where, you know, John Fisher would just commit to something. Yeah. Like, use your own money and get it done. Like, it's a much smaller scale. It's not even fair to say it, but I will say it. Like, the Ballers have gotten Raymondi Park in, like, no time at all because they said, all right, we'll just pay for it. Like, you can get done quickly in Oakland if you just pay for it. Or if you just want a ballpark, but they didn't want that here. And in Vegas, they do want that. So it's really weird. And, you know, I saw something. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. Matt Ortega sent it to me. Mm. I'd actually not seen this before. But on the MLB.com Athletics, like, Vegas ballpark page, there's a post, and they describe, like, the venue.
Verbal renderings.
It is like
verbal, like, rendering.
I don't know when it was posted, but it may have been only posted maybe today. Yeah.
Why didn't they make a bigger deal out of this? Like, they're announcing Big as the design architect. They're the people that designed Howard Terminal. But listen to how many words it takes to say the roof will not be retractable. Five overlapping layers whose design is inspired by traditional baseball pennants open to the north to allow for natural light and expansive views of the strip, while also direct sunlight and heat from the south. The outfield boasts the world's largest cable net glass window facing the corner of Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard. So does that mean it's not a retractable roof? Like, it just opens on one side so you can see the strip? Like, I don't know.
Casey, did you not hear world's largest cable net glass wall or something? Come on. I know baseball fans. I've known a lot of baseball fans, and the thing that they're always clamoring for is the world's largest cable net glass wall. I don't know.
Yeah. That's penance. Yeah. I heard penance. But you know what?
Like, when I went to the MGM, I call it the MGM on accident, like Rob Manfred did that one time, because when you go to the Tropicana and you stand and you look around, every single property around that site is owned by MGM. So you can see exactly why it ended up where it is, because MGM has all the power. They want it right there. But if it's tiny, like I thought Howard Terminal was tiny at 55 acres, this is much, much smaller. And Bally's is going to be building towers around it. So, like, how it's going to have a view of downtown or the strip, I don't even understand.
Get, like, a view of Bally's. You get a nice view of Bally's.
Did you see the Bally's in the airport runway? That's about it.
These are the same things that, you know, I'm sure, Casey, you heard a lot more often than I did. You know, I had some sources that I'd occasionally talk to, but I'm sure you heard it a lot more often. But when you talk to the Oakland people during and then after Howard Terminal, I mean, they just said that these guys, they were never ready to do the things that meant that they'd be ready. You know, it was the public sort of facing thing was always like, well, Oakland's not ready to pay for the streets, but, like, no one ever felt like that they were ready to pull the trigger and knew what they were doing. You know, I think my pessimism still lies in the fact that this really is the end of the road for John Fisher. Like, I don't see any sort of other option for him. You know, there's no other place he can go. And yeah, he's struggling to get the prices that he wanted. He's struggling to get the loan terms that he wanted. He's struggling to be able to sell the equity at the level that he wanted. You know, I mean, the Forbes estimate of the A's value is the same as the amount of money he needs to pay, you know, for the stadium, you know, and I'm sure that's killing him. You know, he thought, oh, I'll just be able to sell 20 or 30% of the team and then use that to build the thing. But at the end of the day, you know, he and his family still, you know, have billions of dollars of other things. And I just can't imagine this should be the biggest embarrassment, the embarrassment of his life, you know, to not get this done. So I think I'm still pessimistic. I'm happy to know that he's going to have to pay a lot more than he wanted to. And, you know, he's very sad about that. But I think I'm still pessimistic, just thinking like he's otherwise he's pretty much got to sell. And I don't think he wants to do that. But we'll see.
I really do think we're close to that point. It's now or never for him. I mean, if they demo the Trop and the A's don't have serious plans and the Trop is already demoed, like, it's now or never, man. MGM's waiting on them. Bally's is going to be waiting on them. It's now or never. And the one thing that could bail him out is selling his half of the Coliseum property to AASEG. And that is the one thing that I fear the city will see as a reasonable concession that, okay, you know, this all sucks, but at least we get the Coliseum land back. I can tell you the mayor's office doesn't see it that way at all, but I feel like some other Oakland politicians might. That worries me, because then that will give him the influx of cash he needs possibly to finally get this thing over the finish line. It will give the city the opportunity to get that land back, but it's not a win-win. It means pro sports are dead in Oakland. And so I think that you have to keep that in mind the whole time you look at this. And that's the biggest concern for me is what, if anything, the concessions are for allowing them to play 25 through 28 at the Coliseum. Because if you don't let them play there, they lose their TV deal. They lose that $100+ million they could get off their half of the land. And I think at that point, he absolutely will have to sell. So it's a huge
amount of money. So it's both. I mean, eventually he'll sell that land. I mean, somebody will eventually buy it from him. You know, we can't just steal the land back from him. Thank you, Nate Miley. But like, you know, the county, if you're an Alameda, I'll just say this, if you're an Alameda County voter, just take a look at, you know, there's an election coming up. Take a look at whatever statements have been made from your supervisor about this. Some of them, Nate Miley, have really not been helpful, but that's that huge amount of money. But then of course, if they stay in the Coliseum for 2025 to 2027, they're looking at like $70 million a year or something. So like almost $200 million in basically free money that, thanks to the largesse of the NBC Sports Comcast Corporation.
Not a corporation known for their largesse, by the way. So this is a deal for them. It's a very bad deal for them. And
it's a terrible deal for them. I think I did some math on Twitter, and it looked like, I think last year, I think that per household per game, NBC Sports was paying something like $40 per household per game. Which is not a winning formula for cable television.
Well, I mean, people may or may not remember this, but I was one of five producers that launched that network.
Okay.
And I built all of the current A's pre and post game infrastructure from the ground up, and I did a million shows with Brody Brazil, and we had some great years there. But you know, that team, even at its best, the ratings paled in comparison to all the other teams, except for the Sharks. And so,
poor Brody, even at
their best, they're not drawing numbers. So at their worst right now, their numbers are abysmal. So $70 million a year for those ratings is a big time loss.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys, I want to ask one thing about Sheng Tao. So you guys were both talking with Sheng Tao at the A's Fan Fest this weekend. And I know there's this idea that it's like some hopium that even if the A's leave, they can get an expansion team. Is that real, or is that just a kind of a pipe dream? Because I personally feel like once they leave Oakland, I can't see them returning to the market. But I just want to gauge your guys' feelings on that and if that's a real possibility. And just her, I know she's keeping this optimism, but is it real? Or, I mean, obviously she has no other position to take, but like, you know, just like the city of Oakland and her thoughts and expansion and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's no chance for expansion unless the A's leave and like Joe Lacob puts this like superstar power group together for expansion. I just don't see it happening. I think you ask for it though, right? You ask for expansion, you ask for the name and colors, because, you know, while John Fisher never really seemed to want to get to yes in Oakland after the pandemic and after interest rates went up, it almost seemed like they were clearing these hurdles despite themselves. Like they were waiting for that one thing to just shut it down so they could move on, and they just kept getting past them. So I think that you ask for the impossible because you don't want to get to yes on extending that lease, because if you extend it, everything's done. It's over for everybody out here.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I, you know, I don't exactly know the internal politics of I was also not really clear why Alameda didn't, isn't Alameda sold their interest? Like, why are they still part of the negotiations too? I just don't understand it, but like,
county has ruined all of this. Like, let me just say, the city gets a bad rap as a whole, but the county is why everybody's in this precarious position, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So the county is really whatever. I guess they're still at the table. So I only have friends at the mayor's office. So I think they've made their case clear. And, you know, in talking to them, when I was standing up there talking to the mayor wearing an opossum costume, she, you know, she more clear to me saying, you know, yeah, it's expansion or bust. So like, you know, I don't know if the other people, if the city council, you know, like Rebecca Kaplan and the county can outvote them or whatever, but to me it sounds like the mayor's office is like, give us expansion or not. One thing I mentioned to them was, you know, in just like reading Wikipedia about old move, you know, teams that moved, you know, one of the deals that Seattle had with the Supersonics when they met left was they said, okay, well, if we don't have a new NBA team by X year, you owe us, I think it was $30 million if we don't have an expansion team in 5 years. So the A's can say, well, we can't promise you that. That's ridiculous. But, you know, if you want to kill the thing with this, or, you know, have that dream, you just say, oh, it's fine. The Oakland A's will just owe the city of Oakland $500 million in 6 years if we don't have an expansion team. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to kill it. But I think it's a really good point that you've made, Casey, which is basically like this money would almost be their the way of their get out of jail free card. So don't give them that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this also really affects the roots in Seoul too, and has affected them materially in the last couple of weeks in very frustrating ways. I don't know if I think kind of you've caught people up on that, but I don't know where the roots in Seoul are right now. I mean, I think that they're just like, you know, angels just being there, like, we won't say anything, but please just stop screwing us. Like, please.
They're trying their best to get something done, and the county has dragged their feet at every turn. And as a result, they don't know where they're going to play in 2025. I mean, that's to put it simply. So the county, once again, rearing its ugly head, and hopefully they come to their senses, because the Roots and Soul are a great community run organization that just wants to do good. It's all they want to do is good, but they're stuck in the mud right now. So
if the Roots and Soul were asking the county to give them, you know, big tax breaks and stuff, then I'd understand, but they're not. They're just saying, let us play in the Coliseum.
Yeah, that's basically it. The problem is, if the A's come back, there's conversion costs, and it's pretty easy to say, hey, A's, you guys really need us more than we need you. So you pay the conversion costs and done. Everyone plays here, everyone wins, And I think that's the deal that they will inevitably come to if they come to their senses. But until then, the county is going to keep dragging their feet. They have to vote on the sale of the Raiders training facility soon. The city council has passed that. They're waiting on the county. It's just been a mess. Like, the Roots are doing everything they can, and things are just moving very slowly.
All right. Well, Casey, I want to let you get out of here. I know you stay late after work. So thank you so much, man. But also, I want to give you an opportunity. If there's anything you want to tell the fans, just after the weekend that you guys had, if there's any, just give you a platform to tell them anything and just how you felt and all the internet. Because I'm sure you probably met hundreds of people and hundreds of selfies and everything, you know?
Thousands, Alex. Thousands, man. No, my only thing that I was telling the fans is, they kept coming up to me and being like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like, me? Like, thank you. Like, you're here. Like, if you didn't come here, we can't do this. If you don't come here, it doesn't look good. If you don't come and show up, then all this is for nothing, basically. So, you know, I was just thanking them for just being there. So, yes, thank you. I love you. That is my only message to the fans. Pay attention. That's my other message. Just follow this stuff. I know it gets old. There's a lot of minutia, but the more engaged you are in this process, the more power you have as a whole. And I think maybe it was Hal that's mentioned this in the past. I think that Steve Tavares, East Bay Insiders, mentioned this. Like, they have this like built-in A's army that they could have just used to their advantage anytime they wanted, and they just failed to do so. So like, we have to be our own A's army, so to speak. So if you're a fan, pay close attention, stay engaged, don't give up hope, and don't go inside the Coliseum on opening night.
Thanks so much, Casey.
Casey, thank you so much. Enjoy the night with your family. And thanks for all the work over the years, man. I think it's really great to see that you're getting appreciated for all the hard work you do, man. So
well, thank you, guys. And I'm not going home. I'm actually just right in between shows. So
no.
I'll be stuck here all night.
Get back on TV. All right. Get back on TV.
I'm at work right now, so I got to do
that. That's why we got Suit Casey. We got Suit Casey.
Yeah, I actually got off the air, and then I got to go back on the air, so that's why I'm not dressed.
Dude, you're the best, man. I can't believe you actually snuck that in for us, man. You're the best, man. Thank you so much, dude.
It's all good. Yeah. I love you guys. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Casey. Cool. See you soon, man. I'll be back soon. All right. Thanks again to Casey Pratt for that great chat about A's.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, I'll give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. Ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Fanfest this past weekend, and me and Hal are back to just kind of wrap things up. And first thing I got to ask you, Hal, where did you buy that possum suit?
That was the last dive bar guys. I think they got that on Amazon. We were looking for an opossum mascot outfit for a while, and I think that was sort of the one that they landed on. My favorite part about that was that there were little shoe covers, so whenever I looked down it looked like I had claws, little paws. little claw paws.
Well, I mean, it looked great. It looked hilarious, man. And I loved you had some tweet. It was like, oh, whenever I talk to the mayor, I wear a costume and bring a light snack. It was like, you're dressed in a full possum. You got the red and white thing, and then you're holding like 15 cotton candies. I was like, there's my boy Hal.
Well, yeah, so I selfishly wanted to go up to the top and just say hi to the players who were, you know, chilling out up there. I realized, you know, well, you know, I got a bunch of cotton, you know, I'm wearing a goofy outfit and I have a shit ton of cotton candy. So, you know, like the security guard is going to be like, oh yeah, he's coming up here to give cotton candy. And that's what I did, right? Like I think I gave a bunch of cotton candy to
So that's like your
Cocoa,
credential is
Coco Crisp's girlfriends, kids or something. Yeah, they were running. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like they gave me a credential at the beginning of the thing. I was like, I don't need this.
I don't need no stinking badges.
Badges. I don't need no stinking badges. You just got this face and I'm in a possum costume and, you know, and nobody's, I have, yeah, you know, yeah. 50 cotton candy, you know, 50 things of cotton candy. No one's going to question me. So, you know, I went up there and I think what was happening was that they were ready. The Scott Braun and the the Foul Territory podcast were waiting to interview the mayor, but she was running a little bit behind. So when I walked up there, they had the fake Dave Cavill.
Oh my god,
what's his name? He did such a good job. He did such a great job. So that fake Dave Cavill.
Honestly, you know what's funny about that? The first time I saw that photo, I thought that was Alexander Marx. I was like, what the hell? I thought that was the dude from Schools Over Stadiums.
I thought
that was him. No, no.
Stephen Babb. You know, give him a follow on Twitter.
Classic A's Stephen Babax. Classic A's fan on Twitter. Yeah, he's always tweeting.
He's an actor. And so, you know, he was doing a lot of he was doing some really good work. And so after they were done with him, they still were waiting. And so so Brian from Last Dive Bar grabs me and goes, oh, you're on with the podcast. So I sat down and I like you know, I definitely was not as entertaining, but I talked to them about the reasons why there just wasn't anybody in the stadium and, you know, the sad state of the stadium you know, and just like, if there's 15,000 people at the Coliseum, it takes three innings to get, you know, to get a beer, you know, because the thing is built for the 1970s. But so I stood up after that part of the interview was over. I stood up. And I grabbed my cotton candy and I walked right by the mayor. Just like not even realizing. She goes, Hal, you're not gonna stop and say hi to me. I was like, oh yeah, of course. But then somebody on Instagram got that picture of me standing next to the mayor.
Dude, that was a great
photo. Yeah, holding 50 cotton candies above my head and just chatting with her. And that's when we were talking about this with Casey. That's when I, you know, told her, stay firm. And you know, I think that her office is going to stay firm. We said this with Casey, that the Alameda County has been the ones that have really been just screwing around, I think, with this.
Getting back to the Raiders in the 90s, man. That's where all this shit started for me. I don't know.
Yeah, they've just bungled it, you know, every single way they could have. But the mayor's office, I think, is going to really stand firm and not let the A's back into the Coliseum unless they promise things that the A's probably will never be able to promise. So, you know, for me, that you gotta respect the mayor's office there. You know, I know we were talking about this a little bit offline too. You know, I think that the mayor's office is under a lot of pressure right now. There's a recall attempt for her. There's a recall attempt that I think is farther along for Pamela Price, the DA of Alameda.
They're feeling like everybody's feeling the heat, you know, like
everyone's feeling the heat, but from what I understand and from what I've been able to observe, I think that the mayor's office has done a lot of things right and is really standing firm on what what Oakland is owed, right? Which they're owed a replacement team, and really what they're owed is John Fisher just letting someone else buy the fucking team who can do it. You know, there's a guy out there. We all know who it is. We all know he has the ability to buy the team. We all know that he has the want to buy the team. We all know that he has the ability to build a stadium. Just let him fucking do it, dude.
Joe Lacob and Steph Curry, like if Steph somehow owned a share, or like, you know, if you get
oh
Steph
yeah, I'm and, sure he'd be
if
in.
You get like Steph and Clay involved or something, dude, like that franchise is already a moneymaker just because they're associated with the Warriors. I mean, if you're listening, Joe Lacob, that's my suggestion.
I know he sticks, he listens to the spot and he sticks to the end. So I know, yeah. I think that's really helpful. But
I was going to ask you, do you think the key is like 2025, 2027? Is that like where all this falls and everything, like where the A's play?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds.
And if they get money, if they pay, you know, work out.
It sounds like it would help, it would help a lot, right? I think there's two sort of sources of money out there that politicians and the people can sort of go after. One of those buckets of money, you know, is tying up this gift that Alameda gave John Fisher in the half of the land, the Coliseum, but it's that the $210 million or whatever that NBC, sports Comcast is would be due to pay the A's if they stayed. I was so confused. There was that story last week after the A's met. And after the mayor's office was like, we met, we told him we want an expansion. There we go. And then I guess somebody in the A's was like, we got to make him nervous or something, like as if this was going to be a big deal, and said, oh, Sacramento is that's where we're going to go, Sacramento. And we can definitely get most of the money in Sacramento. Like, I don't know they know what the contract is. I don't know what the contract is, but I mean, from all the reporting, it sounds like.
Well,
they're gone. Yeah. If I'm NBC Sports California, or I'm going to tell them, or Bay Area or whatever, I'm going to say, yeah, sure, we'll keep putting you on TV if you're in Sacramento. We'd love to offer you $4.5 million a year or whatever, you know, like whatever it's worth, you know, not 70.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I think that's
like
a big thing.
Yeah, like no matter what, yeah, I think they need to stay in Oakland. They need to have a seating capacity of 30,000+. Like, there's no way in hell like they go to Sacramento or Utah, one of these AAA parks, and get what, $10,000 a night, like max.
Disagree.
And then you think that they so you think like for those 3 or 4 years that their max is capped at 12,000 or whatever attendance is, or 15. Like, they're going to They're going to have no money by the time they get to Vegas, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
But they don't have any money anyways.
They don't have any good options. I kind of disagree. I think that I'm not sure, but I think that if they're in Sacramento, well, so if they're in Salt Lake, that's a market where people who live in Salt Lake have never been able to see Major League Baseball before. And it's going to be a brand new stadium. So even if it's small, I think that they'll be able to sell a lot of tickets there. The problem is they won't get a big, good TV contract because there's not that many TVs in Utah. And you're signing a new contract anywhere with any of these RSNs, it's going to be a small fraction of what they used to do, right? So they're just
going to look at like the A's numbers with the ratings that they've been putting up.
Yeah,
dude, the market value for this product is not as high as 65.
Yeah, it's like somebody who wants to, it's like they've locked in this great TV contract. They're not going to get that anywhere. Maybe if the Mets and Yankees, move to Maine next year, and the A's were able to be the only team in New York.
According to Rob Manfred, New York doesn't need the Mets, so I guess
So I think that they'll be able to sell tickets. I don't know. Sacramento will be a little bit tougher just because that stadium's so old, but people in Sacramento will be excited at least for a year that there's that Aaron Judge is in their neighborhood. So, you know, these new places will they'll be so excited. Funny. I a can't little imagine. Bit, but
I've been to those little clubhouses, dude. I cannot imagine the New Yorker Yankees. I mean, that was like 12 years ago, right. But I cannot imagine them going there at all, dude. Holy, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, is these players, like the players union might tell them to go F themselves, you know? But you know, it's just so much more easy. But I think the mayor's office is gonna hold strong. I really hope that's the case. It sounds like Alameda County again is kind of, I don't even know why they still get a say, but they do. And they seem to be the ones who are the friends of John Fisher. So, you know, Jorge Leon, the president of the 68s, he went out and Nate Miley is the guy in the Alameda Council. He's I believe the president of the council, and he's been the one who has been kind of screwing Oakland sports fans a lot. But he is actually up for re-election right now. So he's got
he's so old too, right? He's
super old. He's like a super old guy who's just been there forever. He's like a machine guy.
These people
and
are
so,
stuck in the 80s and the 90s. Like they don't
really They are, yeah. Them, Jennifer
they just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Jennifer Esteen, she's a registered nurse. She's running against Nate Miley. Jorge went out and endorsed Jennifer. I think Ace fans. You know, it could be, you know, I don't know if people have enough energy for this, but like, you know, I think in an interesting world, I think A's fans could, you know, do more organizing around just getting out a politician that doesn't seem to be for A's fans. But so if you're in District 4, that's like Pleasanton and East Oakland, which I know are not right next to each other, but that's the district. I think I
Pleasanton
put up that
and
district
East
map.
Oakland?
Pleasanton. A little bit of North Hayward. So it's East or so not East, West Oakland, my fault. Right. West Oakland, the Oakland Hills. Then it kind of goes down to Castro Valley. Uh-huh. It has a little bit of Fairview, you know, Ashland, Cherryland. It has like this little teeny bit of Hayward that's like out in the hills, but then it's mostly Pleasanton. Okay. So, you know,
like
if you live in West Oakland
like
or Pleasanton or Castro Valley. Yeah. I would, recommend voting for Nate Miley again, but you know, it sounds like pressure should be applied there. The other way that John Fisher can lose money, this has been something that I've been pushing for a long time, and I know a lot of A's fans have donated, is schools over stadiums. So, you know, they're working to try and mess with the money in Las Vegas. They filed a lawsuit, trying to say, hey, against the state of Nevada, saying that this law is like unconstitutional with the state.
It needed like two-thirds majority instead of half majority or
something like
that.
Right? Yeah, it's unclear to me if that's what's going on there. But they filed that lawsuit, and then they also today announced that if John Fisher announces funding, right? So if John Fisher tomorrow stands up in front of microphones and say, hey, I found my funding. I found my loans. I'm ready to go. We're going to put our shovel in the ground, you know, and I have enough money to spend so that it would trigger the state funds. Then schools over stadiums would file an injunction with the court saying, you don't get your money until our lawsuit is done. I know that Schools Over Stadiums has raised a ton of money, like six figures amount of money from A's fans. I know that they could use any little bit more would help. They were at the Fans Fest. I know that they raised a bunch of money from just people just chatting with people. I hope during the boycott that they'll come back for the boycott, and I hope that they'll be able to ask for more money then. I think that I think I'm much more bullish on them than some of the other some of the fan leaders, and so it, you know, it makes it a little bit more complicated. I think there's some people who think, well, you know, we should be donating money to Oakland causes and stuff. My feeling is like, this is an Oakland cause, right? Like messing up John Fisher, like finding ways for, you know, for John Fisher to not have enough money to build in Las Vegas and being forced to sell to Joe Lacob is an Oakland cause. But yeah, I think if you're listening to this, you know, there might be some news, you know, from them. Hopefully schools over stadiums will announce more sort of ways to get involved. I want them to try and sort of offer more ways to get involved. That's not just donating money. So we'll see.
So what's the plan for opening day? So, because obviously last year's reverse boycott was a huge success, or at least it made the immediate impact that we wanted.
Yeah.
But now they're going, now the fans are going classic boycott as opposed to, they're doing a reverse boycott. So
the double reverse, baby.
So what's the plan? You got boots on the ground. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard. I think that the mad scientists back in Last Dive Bar have been coming up with some amazing branding.
Dude, those guys are,
they're fucking funny, dude.
Incredible how good they
they're
are.
Just the incredible creativity that those guys have. Those gentlemen have.
I gotta say, I love seeing 68th and Last Dive Bar collaborate, and then you see the power that they have together. It's freaking incredible. Yeah,
awesome. And you know, and I've been saying that for a long time. I think if I could go back and find some tweets, some receipts for like years back, just saying like these two groups are incredible. And they're both groups I've never seen, not just both, but either of them in any other fan group or team that I've ever vended for or been around. So I mean they're both incredible, but I'll let them reveal what
we gotta try to get them on. They're pretty exhausted.
They're so busy.
But maybe busy. Next week or something like that we can get them on here.
But they're coming up with some incredible branding for the boycott. I think it's gonna be a little bit you know, there might be some parts that aren't revealed until the day of, because I think we're going to be sort of dealing with, you know, everything on social media is even though Dave Cavill has now blocked half of A's fandom.
Yeah,
he went on a block fest. He's out there Dikembe Mutombo-ing. Have you been blocked yet?
No, but I also haven't tweeted since November.
You haven't tweeted yet, so
we'll
hey,
see what
man,
happens.
I bet when you release this podcast and tweet about it,
you're like, oh, I forgot about this guy. Boop.
if you tag Dave Cavill, maybe not, but like if you tag him, he'll definitely block you. But
I'll just do tests at Dave Cavill.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this thing off?
Yeah, you know what? You should tweet like, I think Dave Cavill's a great guy, and just like, yeah,
just
purely see
positive,
it.
Just purely like, oh man, I love Dave.
Did you know that Dave Cavill's an excellent marathon participant?
You know, Dave has never said a lie in his life.
Dave Cavill is a graduate of Stanford Business School, one of the top three business schools in America. You know, just do something like that.
Just do like,
Yeah, I bet he'll block you. But actually, that'd be so funny. Actually, I kind of want to do that. I think I have like, I might have.
I'll,
I don't know.
Give you
I might
the
have
password to the tweet on Twitter, and then you just fire. Or you just go nuts and.
Are you not you?
I'll just you got a sense of humor. I don't have a sense of humor.
I kind of want to create like a fake A's fan account. But then just start tweeting
positive
things and see how long it takes to block me.
You'll get blocked.
Anyway, what I was gonna say is that you know, we know like that you know that they read social media all the time. So I think it might be, depending on what happens, you know, we might not necessarily put everything on social media, but you know, we might actually have to do some in-person meetings, but
I
don't know.
Parking lot. So is the plan to buy tickets for parking, but don't buy it for the ticket to the game?
Yeah. I think that's stuff that we'll definitely share, which
ideally,
is
right. Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, I think a lot of people, we encourage a lot of people to take part. I think if you do decide to drive, we definitely need some people to drive because, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, especially if you like tailgating, you know, come drive and tailgate and like, you know, invite, you know,
listen to Ken Korak. Oh, that's so cool.
Put it on the radio, you know, put your radio volume up. Put your radio volume up and make some food and invite some fellow A's fans to come listen with you. We're going to have, you know, this is a long time ago now. I think maybe people might forget, but we raised a bunch of money back in December to order some big flags, some big cell flags from China. And so I think we have like, I think we have a 5,000, 6,000 cell flags or something. So we won't have shirts. We'll have the flags. So, you know, that'll be cool because like, I think, you know, bring your own flag pole.
Just imagine a drone shot. It'd be so cool. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It'll be cool. Like, you know, we'll have like a bunch of, we'll have like, you know, so everyone will have cell flags. You know, I'm imagining fifth inning, you know, we can't have the big moment of silence, but maybe fifth inning, everyone goes back to their cars and just lays into their horn, right? Oh. What if everyone just does their horn in the fifth inning?
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then
the TV broadcast, TV broadcast,
you'll be able to hear in the background, you know, it sounds like everyone's car alarm going off.
Yeah. See, this is why I knew I had to come back, for this season. I can't miss
it. It'll be fun.
This season's gonna be fun, dude.
There's a lot more being planned. I think my opinion is is like we need to like somehow find a political lever to pull. Even if we don't, you know, even if this is what happens up happening, I mean, it is impossible for MLB to ignore this. You know, they will, but
this digs under Rob Manfred's skin, and that's why he gives these shitty answers, because I think it actually does bug him. It makes their sport look bad, man. Like the fans,
it definitely makes them look bad. Yeah.
The fans are better at getting people together than the actual team. Like, it's pathetic. They look so
bad. It makes them look
bad. I had people texting me like in Mexico, like, dude, like the A's look I don't know, people I hadn't talked to because I've been out for 5 months, and people just hit me up like, dude, that was amazing, the A's looked like shit. Like, people, like, I don't know, that's the sentiment that I got, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely look like shit. What's good about it is, you know, is if this gets screwed up, someone like Joe Lacob, this gives him the confidence to buy them and build in Oakland. I think that's important. You know, if it hadn't been for this movement, I don't think we'd have the Ballers, right? The Ballers are out there trying to create a minor league team in the sort of, I think, very likely scenario that we don't end up getting an expansion team or whatever, or saving the A's. And, you know, the reason why they've had the confidence to invest this money and time is hearing all about, you know, seeing all this, this love of Oakland. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, they have a huge uphill battle, but I think that they'll definitely be successful. And I know the 68s are like ride or die for them right now. So that's really good. That's really good for them. I think that's really positive for them.
One more thing about opening day is like parking, like the A's get a cut of the parking, right? I'm assuming like they get half and the parking company gets half or something like that.
I think that the A's get all the parking, but here's the deal, right? Like, I think that the way to do it is we talked about this a lot, I think, months ago, saying like, well, should we go somewhere else? And you know, there's nowhere really else to go if they have 20,000 people.
I mean,
just the amount of work that it took to do Fans Fest, and that was I don't think 20,000 people came to Fans Fest. If 20,000 people came to Fans Fest, that I think that there wouldn't have been. I think that
it would have been like a crisis. It would have been like Firefest, dude. It would have been a Firefest documentary.
It would have been like a dangerous situation. But you know, if you know, so there's just like nowhere else to do it. But also, you know, we want to intercept people. You know, we don't want to intercept people who want to go in. You know, like if you want to go in, go in. But like, I think, you know, if people are not sure, you know, they're like, well, I have tickets. You know, I think we want to make a big, you know, a big show that like, hey, we're doing this. Stay out here with us. Stay out here with us. And so by being in the parking lot, you can say, hey, stay out here with us. You know, be with us, not with them. And so, you know, I think that that's why it makes sense. So, you know, I'm a big, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I'm a big proponent of public transportation anyway, and biking and stuff. So, you know, take public transportation, take a bike. But also, you know, if you're that kind of guy who loves tailgating and you want to, you know, make a bunch of chicken wings and to a bunch of, you know, some of your fellow A's fans who took part, I think that would be great too. You know, it's $30. Parking is fine, but they're going to lose so much more money from the fact that people are not buying tickets and that people, you know, and I think a lot of people will end up buying tickets sort of not knowing that it's a boycott, and that's okay. But, you know, if they don't go in, they don't get the concessions. They don't get the souvenirs.
I think you can also, if you don't use a ticket, you can trade it in for another day or something like that. I think there used to be something like that. I don't know if they fucked around, but
I'm sure that they will not allow you to do that out of spite, right? But like, yeah.
Or maybe,
you know, but
maybe,
like,
maybe it's a season ticket, but I swear to God, there used to be something if you didn't use a ticket, like you could exchange it, but I don't know. Or maybe if you're hearing this now and you're on the fence, you can still exchange it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look into it. I mean, I talked to a couple people, you know, I talked to a few people who that said, hey, I want to go to opening day. It's for my kids, you know, or hey, like they already have.
I mean, it's opening day. And, like, you know, I totally get it.
And,
yeah,
and that's fine.
Here's a big butt. I hear a big butt coming through. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I would ask you, you know, I would say, like, hey, I think the parking lot's gonna be so much fun. Like, I think people are just gonna be partying in the parking lot, right? People are gonna be like playing catch. Everyone's gonna have their radios blaring. You know, people are just gonna be partying.
Gonna be
that's
gonna be a really cool scene, dude. That's gonna be
Like, you know, you can go the next day. But you'll always remember the boycott, you know, and I think it'll be really cool. They'll get a few thousand people who will cross the picket lines. You know, the virtual
people who haven't missed
lines.
Opening
I'm not
day
saying
40
we're gonna picket
years
or anything
or something like that.
But yeah, but you know, I mean, right field Will's gonna be in there. Fine.
Yeah.
Right field Will is the man is a lunatic. And I can't even begin to, you know, question right field Will, so I won't. But I think everyone else, I would just encourage, you know, rethink it, and we'll talk about it more maybe if Alex, if we keep doing the podcast.
We will.
At
least once a week till the season. That's our goal. That's my goal.
That's your goal. Okay.
Yeah. I know you got a job and shit now. It's different than last season. It's like you got less time.
Well, we'll figure it out. But this is awesome. Thanks for inviting me back on.
Hell yeah, man. All right. Yep. Thank you, Hal. And we'll be back soon.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.